Hi, everybody. I'm worried about the water. So, I was gonna read four poems. Maybe I'll read four poems. Maybe I'll read three. Okay, because I want you to be able to pee if you need to. I also want to thank the Hemingway's team. Thank you so much. And I am excited also to read with Michael. So Michael does not know this, but I think it was like the first reading I did out in the Pittsburgh community, and I knew who you were. And you're big in the poetry world. And I read a poem, and he was in the audience, and he started clapping. And honestly, I was just like, yay. So thank you. Okay, so I'm going to start with a poem that is not about gardening. It's called A Mishap, A Delicious Pungency. The gardening I love best is burying things I could eat, garlic cloves, rotting potato, deep in the ground, then eating their families. The gardening I love is cultivation lottery. I throw scraps to the hated groundhog, and a pumpkin big as a boulder is born. My gardening happens on sleepless nights. A train rattles through the hillside, across the river, into my teeth. I grow the need to swap a dull need for a rumbling one. The gardening I'm best at is buried shame. Arm-thick roots shake dirt onto my tongue. The gardening that toils me is a question. What is grace? The gardening I loved when my hair was weedy, when hope arrived each morning, was in a cemetery. Maybe it's still there. I circled blacktop paths between rows of graves, graves, obelisks, graves. I planted my feet among the quiet dead. I grew their blabbermouths. I watered my eyes with their saltless tears. I sprouted a cavalry of ears inside my ears. Thanks. Okay, so I've got two long poems. The next poem is a prose poem. It's called A Thanksgiving, An Unsaid Grace. My father-in-law calls to say he brined the turkey to tastelessness, and no one hears, husband and daughter, brothers and their families downstairs playing games. So my dead mother answers. I know nothing about turkey's flesh, but have known them to chase me wild as I bolted through a city forest on my bike. My mother's cooked one each year since before she married, willing her onion and cabbage house to smell American, and cooked one each year since she died, rubbing the bird skin with butter after its saltwater bath, before hours of slow roasting, heat and browned air keeping her in the world I was never sure she loved. Stuffed from six kids, her big bag body's skin stayed the same size as she shrunk old. Skin under chin, where more chins had been. Stomach skin atop stomach skin under empty feed sack breasts. The flesh and fat she worked to shed, dusts bones in an underground box. She takes the call. It's okay she blamed each of us for her nipples meeting navel. It's okay she locked herself in a room while we downed beers and laughed. It's okay life is hard even when its daily makings aren't. That thanks are wishbones we forget to snap. She'd riddled my morning while I wanted to sleep, plucking stuck feathers, unstuffing organs, restuffing her emptiness with torn white bread, putting giblets in the pan to boil for my father, also dead, who, after everyone leaves, will study the gray innards, say their names, heart, gizzard, liver, then rip with delicate fingers. I too am disappearing into gray age, listening to the basement laughs. My mother debates table versus sea salt, though she's never met my husband or his father, never stood at my kitchen counter, touched the lace that hangs in my cabinets, never marveled at the windows that eye a river and remind me to travel out of my head, never said until now, it's too much work to keep them clean. She peed with the door closed, kept her nightgown under a pillow, watched Phil Donahue, and loved the polka, which I'd pull her into on Sunday afternoons to twirl her out of her sadness, which twirled me into mine. She loved vanilla ice cream, morning glories, and the ocean, where I send her now, breast-stroking past breaking waves, rubber-capped head drifting parallel to shore, leaving her kids, finally, not at peace, but to figure out what they can love and how. Thank you. All right, so the next poem is also long, so bear with me. And the title, I think, explains the whole thing. It's called, it's kind of a love poem, you know, talking about love, it's kind of a love poem. It's called, A Friend Asks If I'm Comfortable Writing About My Marriage. My last long-term love before my husband had writer's block, and thank God he wasn't a writer, just like my husband, but a physicist whose goal was to explain something about the northern lights and CO2, so he went to Alaska where he sat amid stacks of math formulas that looked like swear words in code and smoked and wrote missives in pencil about wolves he'd heard, his cabin's heater, how bad the fruit was, and the dog he might take in since he was already feeding it peanut butter sandwiches at 4 a.m. The pencil and idea of me, a far away ear silent as a half moon, freed him to write the mysteries of solitude, but not those of the aurora borealis. I'm uncomfortable seeing my face in my computer screen. The skin under my chin hangs like another face shadowing mine. A second, a double. How do you talk about a spouse, the person you promised to live with forever, even though no one understands the extreme oxygen of that word? I was much younger when I gasped my last love. We drove 20 hours to Duluth, slept alongside a cornfield, woke to sweat-tangled clothes and a man with a rifle and a serious understanding of property rights. He took a minute from his anger, turned his mouth towards me. Miss, you all right? My friend asks his question when my husband and I are bodies orbiting a shriveled sun. There we are passing in a hallway. There we are flossing our teeth. When conversation snags like a ripped toenail catching a bed sheet. I'm comfortable saying I'm not sure my husband likes me. Like being a rough metal that, in marriage's alchemical reaction, softens to love, then vaporizes into shuffling routine, quiet, pleasured duty, a formula based on the mass or pressure of years. That's part of marriage's hoopla, what to expect when you're expecting to live with the same person for decades, a word less galactic than forever, and still incomprehensible. How many closed-mouth kisses, empty milk cartons, prescriptions filled? How lucky to know the moles on another person's back, to be woken by deep-throated snores. My friend, who is unmarried, suggests trading sexual favors for chores, a proposition I find equally boring. I want to be comfortable writing the limp leg of old sex. I've loved and fucked and fallen asleep to our bodies and woken again to their pillow bellies, well-curved feet. I've written my husband 12-page love letters, had day-long fights over nail clippings in the sink, gotten love, gotten bored, almost gotten in trouble from forgetting any new body also gets old. Thank God, alchemy is a ramshackle science. One that, in my case, leaks minutes, sometimes days of pure joy, moments when my husband's sturdy eyes astound me, when, watching him make a ham sandwich, I stumble into the calm cloud I call his soul. When my last love and I made it to Duluth, the temperature was 20 degrees colder from where we'd started. The lake masqueraded as an ocean, but truth hung in the blank sky, no northern lights. We sat in an all-night diner, waiting for pie, and even we, so temporary, so astral, had nothing to say. I'm going to end there. Thank you so much for listening.